What are the dangers for all of us, including older men? What areas should we never see in the lives of older men, older women, and elders? What areas must younger men and younger women be urged to think properly in? Obviously, it's anything that controls us, anything that controls our thinking, right?
Thanks for joining us for this weekend edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, in your message today, you talk about the importance of maintaining control of your mind, not allowing thoughts or substances to direct your thinking.
You know, Dave, everything we do really starts in our mind. It's how we think that eventually reveals how we live, and therefore it's of supreme importance that we really recognize and understand how we should think. So then, with that in mind, how do we take control of our thoughts so that we would live Christ-honoring lives? Let's find out. Our text is Titus chapter 2, and we're going to be looking at verse 2.
Well, thanks, Greg. And as always, if you have to miss a portion of today's broadcast, you can hear this entire program online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Whether it's a new believer or an old believer, they have seen the futility of being intoxicated and controlled by anything other than Christ. They are to be temperate. One pastor writes that it describes a man who is watchful to be free from intoxicating effects of the world, the flesh, and the devil, and thus remains circumspect, sober, vigilant. Such an attitude is to be his lifestyle. Old men should have learned what they are and what they are not. Ungodly pleasures and the passing pleasures of sin and of self-indulgence cost far more than what they are worth. A temperate person, he writes, avoids excess, extravagance, overindulgence of appetites and passions. Older men are to be temperate. If you are an older man in here, God is telling you this is what you are to be. This should be a characteristic of you, not controlled or intoxicated by anything, right? Older men in Christ, as we'll see. Now, some of you may not know Christ. You may be older men. You're saying, I can't not do this, and you can't because you are a slave to sin, as all of us were too. It is only Christ who sets us free and enables us to be temperate. Older men are to be temperate. Let me ask you, are you an older man? Are you a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? Then you are to be temperate. Not controlled by any pleasures, wine, worry, your own desires, but Christ. This is what you are to be, and only Christ can enable you to be that way. Older men are to be temperate. Well, what else do we see? Older men are to be, back to Titus 2, temperate. Second word, dignified. This phrase speaks of serious and worthy conduct that earns reverence and respect. Serious and worthy conduct that earns reverence and respect. Dignified. This is what older men in Christ are to be. And along with being temperate, this command is also given to others in Scripture apart from old men. Remember, we saw it earlier as a qualification for elders concerning how they handle their children. Do you remember that when we looked at how elders are supposed to control their children or have them in submission with all dignity? It speaks of behavior and conduct worthy of respect and reverence. When the dad is out there screaming and yelling and trying to get his kids under control, that's not worthy of all respect. Now, we've all done that, but we should grow up and we should learn and ultimately be dignified. An older man are to be dignified. It's also a characteristic of deacons, both male and female. And I'll read this again. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 8, deacons likewise must be men of dignity. First thing, dignity, men of dignity, not double-tongued. Now, here are the requirements for deacons. This is now, when I read this, you'll know why we haven't put deacons out yet, why we're testing and waiting and seeing, and that time is coming. And people are serving as deacons, but they haven't been recognized yet, and that's coming. But he says, deacons must likewise be men of dignity. That's our word. not double-tongued, addicted to much wine, fond of sordid gain, but holding to the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. And let these also first be tested, and then let them serve as deacons, if they are above reproach. Women must likewise be first thing for deacons. Dignified. Dignified. Serious conduct, worthy conduct that earns reverence and respect when Christ is in control of a hardened life. That's how people are going to act. That's how they're going to act, right? And also, if you look down a couple more verses in Titus chapter 2, you see that Titus is commanded to be this way too. Titus 2, verse 7, and we'll go to 6 here. Likewise, urge the young men to be sensible in all things. Now he's going back to Titus. Show yourself to be an example of good deeds with purity and doctrine, dignified. Dignified. Older men are to be dignified. Temperate, dignified. This is what you are to be. And again, you can't do it apart from Christ working in you. And it's an evidence whether he is working in you or not. Well, what's the last thing here we see? Temperate, dignified, and then sensible. Older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible. And we've seen this word before, sophron. We've seen it earlier in chapter 1. Well, what does this word mean, sophron? It comes from two words, sozo, which means to save, phren or phron, which means mind. Saved mind. It really speaks of thinking sensibly, thinking rightly. You think of someone who is sensible, they're thinking rightly. When you talk to someone who is sensible, they're thinking rightly as you converse with them, right? Here, in the biblical context, they are thinking rightly in relationship to what God has revealed concerning their situations in Him and them. Sensible. We see this word in 1 Peter chapter 4. The end of all things is at hand. God's coming to judge. You just talked about that. Don't live anymore for your own will, but for the will of Christ. He says, the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be of sound judgment. Be sophronizo, be sensible. Think rightly. Think rightly. Think rightly. The word literally speaks of being in one's right mind. And I shared this when we were in chapter 1. It spoke of the demoniac who had a legion cast from him, Mark chapter 5, verse 14. And the herdsmen ran away and reported in the city and out in the country. And this was Jesus. He cast out the demons, and they went into a herd of swine and went over the hill. And they came to Jesus and observed the man who had been demon-possessed, sitting down, sophronizo, clothed and in his right mind, thinking straight, thinking right. The very man who had the legion, and they became very frightened. The linguistic key to the Greek New Testament says it denotes a cool head and balanced mind to exercise self-control and moderation. One other lexicon says it speaks specifically or strictly of having sound, healthy mind, the ability to curb one's desires and impulses so as to produce a measured or orderly, self-controlled, sensible life. And obviously in context, we'll see only Christ helps us to be sensible. The idea of being sensible has to do with our thinking, right thinking, right thinking. Instead of having their minds and thoughts controlled by anger, wine, pleasures, retirement, money, older men are to be in their right minds thinking sensibly. Now, folks, this one actually is one that's actually commanded for all of us. It's interesting, as we go through Titus, every single person is going to be commanded to be sensible. All of us, as believers, are to be in our right minds. We saw that elders are to be sensible. Titus chapter 1, verse 8. I'll read that to you. Titus 1, verse 8. I'll actually go back to 7. For the overseer must be above reproach as God's steward, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not addicted to wine, nor pugnacious, nor fond of sordid gain, but hospitable, loving what is good, sensible. Elders must be this way. They must be thinking this way. And then if you go to chapter 2, I'm just going to read through up to verse 8, and I'm going to point out every time this word is used, okay? So Titus 2, we'll start at verse 1. But as for you, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine. Older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sophronous, that's what we see here, sound mind, right thinking, sound in faith, love, perseverance. Older women are likewise to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, that they may encourage, and this word, that they may encourage, actually, or teach, is sophronizo, that they might sophronizo them, that they might teach them, that they might sensibly teach them, call them to right thinking. And he goes on, so that they would love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible. That's our word again. And then he says, pure workers at home, being kind, subject to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be dishonored. Likewise, I urge, and this is all he says to young men, be sensible. This is what you guys need to hear, right? Older men, he's saying these other things. Here, young men, sensible, right? And he goes on, and we see what he shares with Titus. So all of us are to be sensible, and older men specifically here are to be right-minded. Every believer is called to be thinking rightly. It is a characteristic of elders, older men, older women, younger men. It is to be taught from the older women to the younger women. We see here Titus ultimately is to share it to the young men too. We are all, and we all, if we've come to Christ, have been redeemed from our futile way of thinking. Ephesians chapter 4, 17 through 21. Hardened in our hearts. Our thinking was totally wrong before Christ. We are to be right-minded. We need to be thinking rightly. Now, what is it that tempts us to not be of sound mind? What are the dangers for all of us, including older men? What areas should we never see in the lives of older men, older women, and elders? What areas must younger men and younger women be urged to think properly in? Obviously, it's anything that controls us, anything that controls our thinking, right? We saw a few weeks ago that elders are not to be controlled by anger, pleasures, wine, and money, right? Certainly, these things would cause us not to be of sound mind. But what is it in Scripture we see that more often than not causes us to not be of sound mind? It's worry. It's fear. Worry and fear causes us to be out of our right minds in Christ, right? It's not right thinking. To worry as a believer is not sophronos. It is not right-minded to worry when God has declared His truth concerning us and concerning our future, concerning everything, right? Now, what is it that causes our minds to think rightly? We're all tempted, right? We're all tempted to worry, all of us, probably multiple times a day, right? What is it that delivers us from this? Romans 12, verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world. Don't be like the world. Don't let the world put you in their mold. Their mold is to trust in self, and when self can't do it, they get worried, right? Don't be conformed to the world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, this is how we do it. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sophronos, sensibly, righteously, and godly in this present age. Christ has come and brought salvation, and now that same grace in Christ through the Word of God is instructing us to live sensibly, right? It's God's Word through the person of Christ that changes our minds and renews them so that we can think sensibly. Folks, the Christian life is about thinking right. Renewed mind in Christ. It is about a renewed mind that can now bring God glory through obedience by His power to His Word, which should dwell richly in our hearts, which are our minds. And older men are to be examples of sound thinking because the Word of God should be dwelling richly in their minds. I want to ask you and ask all of us, not just the older men, are you of sound mind? Would God say to you, you are sophron, you are sophronized? Would God say that? God sees your heart. He sees your mind. He sees what controls your thoughts. Are they controlled by God through His Word, no matter how you feel? or are they controlled by your emotions, your circumstances, or your desires? So, Fran, older men in the body of Christ are to be sensible, and so are all of us. If you find yourself recognizing you haven't been sensible, there's a really simple solution. God's a gracious God. Confess your sin. Lord God, I haven't been sensible. I'm sorry, I sinned. I've been worrying about stuff. I'm sorry, Lord God. It's wrong. I haven't trusted you. I'm sorry, Lord God. And renew your mind with His word concerning your circumstances, concerning Christ. God's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Okay, so the first half of what older men are to be are temperate, dignified, and sensible. Older men in the body of Christ, and I believe no matter how long you've been a believer, by virtue of the fact you, in your age, now that you're in Christ, can look back and see the waste of following one's own desires and thinking in a way that is ungodly. No matter how new believers even should be able to see this. I need to be this way. God says so, and He will empower me to do so, and I trust Him to do it. Older men are to be these things. Well, what else do we see here? Verse 2, Titus 2. Older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible. Then he has these terms, sound in faith, in love, in perseverance. That same verb that begins the second half of this verse applies to it. Older men are to be, and then he has a list. And this last portion is also what they are to be. They're to be sound in faith, then in love, in perseverance. The term sound applies to all those. You could almost say it this way. Sound in faith, sound in love, sound in perseverance. Older men are to be sound in three areas. Faith, love, and as we will see, endurance. That's where they're to be healthy. Remember we saw what the word sound meant? The word is hugieno. It speaks of being whole or healthy, of good health. We have our English words from this hygienic or hygiene. It speaks of literally being in good health as opposed to being sick, right? We've seen it so far in Titus applied to doctrine, which is what is taught. We need to have sound teaching, healthy teaching. A lot of teaching out there, not all of it is sound, not all of it is healthy. Some of it is very sick. And Titus is to speak the things only fitting for sound doctrine, healthy doctrine. And now we see older men are to be healthy in, and it literally says, the faith. Literally in Greek it says, in the faith, in the love, and in the perseverance. And I'm going to take a short digression here in Greek so that we don't get into trouble here. Whenever there is an article preceding a Greek word, it doesn't always make it definite like in English. Well, what do I mean? If I say a car, that's indefinite, right? Could be any car, right? If I say the car, it's making it definite. Well, in Greek, the article, if you have what we would say like the there, doesn't always serve to make it definite, and we can get in big trouble that way. What it does do is it can definitize it, but it also identifies or conceptualizes something. It's really complex, so we need to be careful when we see an article and there we go, aha, it's definite. Well, we need to do our good study and our exegesis first. So with that in mind, what's going on here? We do have an article here. Older men are to be, if we literally translated it over, sound in the faith. Now the question is, interpretively speaking, is it the faith or faith? Which one is it? It's translated different ways in Scripture. Sometimes it's translated by the translators, the faith. Sometimes it's translated faith. They have to make a decision based on context, what they believe the author, inspired by the Holy Spirit, is saying. Let me give you some examples here. Throughout the book of Acts, we see the term the faith relating to and concerning Christ revealed in His Word, which is to be believed and obeyed. Acts chapter 6. If you kind of got off track and wondering what am I talking about, we'll bring it back here and hopefully you'll come back on here. Acts chapter 6, verse 7. And the word of God kept spreading, and the number of the disciples continued to increase greatly in Jerusalem, and many of the priests were becoming obedient to the faith. They were believing the body of doctrine concerning Christ in His Word, That's the faith. Now, you can see right now how it's pretty complex. Our faith is related to the faith, right? They're kind of crossover. And so you can almost see both these elements in our passage today. The faith is what we believe. Jude said he was going to exhort us to contend earnestly for the faith, once for all delivered. Well, what is our faith in? It is in Christ who is revealed in the body of doctrine we have, right? Okay, so let's keep going here. What is he saying here in our passage? What is he saying? He's saying ultimately, I think that older men are to be sound in the faith. They're to be healthy, ultimately, in the faith, the body of truth that is revealed, but that faith is exhibited in the person of Christ, right? It all ties together, right? When we look in Scripture, who is our faith in? Is it in a book? No, it's in Christ as revealed in Scripture. The body of truth we have in Scripture called the faith, we believe. We believe it. James chapter 2, verse 1, as we've gone through James, we've looked at this. My brethren, do not hold your faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ with an attitude of personal favoritism. Our faith is in Christ as revealed in the Word, the body of doctrine we have, which Scripture calls the faith. It comes together, right? We believe what God has declared in His Word concerning Christ. And I think that's what he's saying about Titus here. Be sound in the faith, which implies you can have a healthy faith or a sick faith. People have sick faith, right? Have you ever seen anybody with sick faith? Have you ever had sick faith? Faith that was really not based on the truth. It's based on maybe our own desires, based on someone else's interpretation that might not meet the Word of God. Sick faith, right? There's a lot of people that have sick faith. They listen to sick doctrine, and they have sick faith. And he says here, older men are to have sound faith. They're to be sound in the faith. They believe sound doctrine concerning Christ. Simply put, older men are to believe what God says. Older men are those who have learned that Christ can be trusted in every way, that His Word is true, that He is faithful. No matter if they are new or old believers, older men have seen and experienced the vanity of this life and the sinfulness and unfaithfulness of man. And they are those who believe that God can be trusted in every way, that His Word is true, that He is faithful, that His Word is sufficient. They do not doubt His truth. They do not question His grace, mercy, love, or wisdom. Older men in the faith are to be those who simply believe the faith, the body of truth that God has revealed concerning Christ. Joshua, when he had grown old, was a man who was sound in the faith.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, in your message today, you mentioned that we shouldn't be controlled by anything other than the Spirit of God. And in that list you mentioned, you said that we're not to be controlled by fear or worry. So how do we bring that under control?
You know, Dave, it's true. We are all tempted to fear and worry. There are so many circumstances out of our control. There's so much to really worry about, in a sense. So how do we keep ourselves from worrying and fearing
We need to be in the Word of God. We need to allow it to permeate our hearts. We need to reject our own wisdom and thinking and allow God's Word to give us insight into what is really happening. So let me just encourage you in this. Get into the Word. Allow your thoughts to be controlled by Christ through His Word, and you will find yourself, instead of worrying and fearing, praising the living God who gave Himself for you.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you're receiving spiritual benefit from Equipping the Saints, would you prayerfully consider sending a gift today? Every gift makes a difference. No gift is too small, and every dollar is put right back into the ministry. To send a gift to Equipping the Saints, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to donate online, our web address is etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again next time, right here, for another edition of Equipping the Saints.